Welcome back, everybody, to the Business of Money podcast. This is your host, Nia. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Okay, let me jump right in. When I record my podcast, I'm going to tell you now, I could probably be very formal. It's not going to happen because I usually do these as thoughts pop into my head, scenarios that pop into my head when, especially when it comes to business, so much comes so randomly and there's so much in my head that it just got to come out because some of the things I hear and, you know, it just seems ridiculous or it's not feasible when it sounds good, but it doesn't. So let me explain. My brother and my sister talk. My brother, he calls me randomly sometimes every other day, 9 o'clock, 7 o'clock. I'm off. I got to go to work. And I'm like, I love it because he calls and I'll call him. And my sister, I'm going to talk to my sister today. And we just so happened to get to talk about a business idea or something like that. And now my sister owns her own business. My brother, he's in HVAC and I work at Walmart, but I also have my Women's Wealth Institute. And I'm building that up because that's going to be what I'm transitioning from once my startup capital comes in. Then I can focus on my business full time. Right now, as you know, I used to drive Uber full time. I taught for many periods of years here in Atlanta and did a lot of different businesses. I did taxes and accounting. I did events, a lot of working with other people. And then taxes and accounting I did under Nia Patrick & Associates and didn't like that. But I always taught, and I taught accounting, business, finance. So anything surrounding business is what I've done. So these conversations are natural, right? Anyway, my brother and I were talking this morning as I was making my coffee, and subsequently I'm on my second cup of coffee because I do 2 cups of coffee sitting at my dining table, which is my office also. And you hear the air condition in the background. I'm sorry, but it's hot as hell here in Atlanta. So we're going to go ahead and roll with it. But him and I are talking, and I think I mentioned about how working with someone and being a mobile notary. And my aunt and my other cousin they're always sending me ideas about business. Like, I have a whole business. Let's start there. They'll probably never listen to my podcast until I'm probably 6 feet under because I really don't think they understand the extent of my business because it's all online and I'm not on their radar yet. And I won't be on their radar until my business grows because I have a vision for myself. But you can't always share your vision. People not always going to, they don't see it the way that you do. So if you ever think that people don't really support you, just understand they don't really know you in that way. No matter what you say, no matter what you do, it's not until other people start talking about you or they see you someplace where they didn't expect that they're like, oh, wait a minute. It happens all the time. So never be discouraged. I never get discouraged, but I say that because they're always sending me things like other business ideas, not clients, not business, but other business ideas. Like the one I'm doing is not working, right? Because, you know, if they don't see the physical aspects of business looking like it's running, meaning that there's a house, a car, all those signs that you might be making it, which, by the way, we know on this channel and in my business, those are false, right? That people send me ideas or send me other people's ideas. Like, I have a whole business, but anyway, so that's how, again, that's the thought process. But we were talking about a mobile notary. He goes, oh, well, you ever thought about being a mobile notary? I'm like, well, I was a notary. And I worked with a client who because I did bookkeeping and taxes, I handled the accounts payable for one of her clients. And that's an interesting study to talk about. One thought always leads to another. She needed someone to do signings for her in case, because her clients always needed someone who was a notary. And I got my notary license here in Georgia. And I'm reading the fine print, and you couldn't make a whole lot of money from it. That's one. I couldn't see how you made, because you couldn't charge a whole, you could only charge, like I could only do $2 for a signing. Now, I was new to it, and I tried to do my research to see how I'm going to make the money from it. And after I did it for a while, I was like, yeah, I don't see how I make money from $2 is not going to help me. $2 is not enough for me, I guess I should say. And there's too many I need to do in order to really make a profit, even though I think the license might have cost me like $100, something like that. All the materials might, and that's all together. So I'm like, I don't see how this is going to work. And I really don't understand a notary business, right? But I did it for a while. So I said to him, to my brother, that I don't see how you make money from it. And he goes, well, when he bought his home, the notary had to sign paperwork. And she's like, and she charged $20, and I had to sign with her twice. So I'm like, oh, okay. So he goes, so you can make money. And I'm thinking, $20 is not a lot of money for me to get in my car, drive someplace, or be someplace that someone had to sign a whole sheaf of papers. And his house was like $250, $285. And out of that $285, I'm getting $20. I don't see how that maths for me. That didn't math for me. I'm not getting $200. $2 is like what, 1%? Nope. Yeah. This is a very small amount. $220, $200. No. It doesn't math for me. So I was like, on a $200,000, the lawyer is getting paid more than me. The real estate agent is getting more than me. And I come in and I do the final piece where he has to actually sign all these documents that everyone put together and got paid for. And I get $20 out of it? No. Now, for mobile notaries out there and notary agents, period, no shade to you. I don't, like I qualified in the beginning, I didn't understand a business like that, because I do hear that you can make money as a mobile notary or as a notarized agent. I should say that. And, but he could have taken it to his bank, I'm assuming, and I'm guessing better than assuming, and they could have did it for free. So, because I know I can go to my bank and have any papers notarized for free. I also had a classmate in my MBA program. He started a mobile notary business, and at that time, mobile notaries were not as common as they are today, because you really couldn't move around and do signings. And this was in California. So he had to really do his research to make sure he could be mobile. And he did. He started up a mobile notary business and he was getting signings. And again, that was what he went to school for. He wanted to start a business. And he shared that he started this business while he was in the MBA program. And I thought that was kind of cool because he was getting business right away. But still, I'm like, no. So I'm looking, I was like, well, you know, maybe I'll look into it because I still have my notary stuff. I still have my stamp and everything. And every now and then I'm like, well, maybe that would be a just little bit of a side hustle, till I'm like, no, that's going to take me off my path. And that's what this podcast episode is about. I haven't named it yet. You'll see it named something along the way, but you have to know your vision, believe in your vision, and not get sidetracked from the vision that you have for yourself and for your business. $20, which is how I started this, because I usually record my podcasts based on what I'm sitting at the table drinking my coffee, thinking about conversations I've had with people. I'm like, that needs to be a podcast. And I used to just went through my mind. And then I was like, why don't I just record? And then I can talk my way through this. And that's how the Business of Money podcast really came about, is I'll just start recording, which is why you don't see it on video. And it's mostly audio, because these are conversations I'm having about with myself. And like, what, that does it make sense? Does it not make sense, or whatever? And so I'm like, that wouldn't work for me. What would I do with 20? And I'm not knocking a 20. It's just, that's not enough money for me. My courses are $197, $297, and I don't have to travel anywhere. They're sitting there. Someone goes to my site, they'll either decide they like what they see and want to engage, and if not, that's okay. I'm okay with that. And I say that because, and I believe in that, and I'm the proof of that belief I have in my business is I'm going through my email and I see that someone sent me a message saying they're from Japan. And they're not from Japan. No, I got an order for my journals on my Amazon KDP from Japan. I'm waiting for that to go through. That's not even in the States. You know that. Then I got an email from someone, email or on my Facebook, something like that, saying, oh, I love Women's Wealth Institute. Do you sell in the UK? And I'm not open to sales outside of the United States. I only opened up my sales channel here in the US. Guess who's about to open it up for the UK? Because one UK order is another UK order is another UK order. One order from Japan is another order from Japan is another order from Japan. Because on Amazon, I can open up to all regions. I'm a global business. I knew I wanted to be a global business, but I started here in the States first. And I don't get much from the States, but the fact that someone said they loved Women's Wealth Institute and do I sell in the UK? Cool. So I have to open up. I can't open up, though, until I LLC my business. So a lot of my business, actual business, meaning that I have my site open. I have my team and partners page. That team and partners page is built, but I took it down simply because it's ready, but it's not ready. And I was jumping the gun a bit. I put it out there. I wanted to see what it looked like, if it got any traction. Nobody downloaded the guides. I gave it a week, and I just took it off the menu. But it's built for vendors and partners and my teammates, people who I want on my team. And, but the courses and the digital products, they are available and they can be sold. It doesn't matter if it's LLC or not, they can be sold. But the point is that it's quiet. People are looking at the website. I'm getting some followers on my social media. I don't post much. I don't post much because I don't fully believe in the follower model. Because the follower model might only be profitable after X amount of followers turn into buyers, where community events, talking to people, networking, being a part of the business community, engaging with people one-on-one, I think is more profitable today versus, and having emails, solid emails from people who are actually interested, but they can see me. See, I don't really show my face also, either, not also, wrong word. And that will increase sales as well because people want to know, like, and trust you. But until my business is set up structurally correctly, none of that can happen. Not in the way that I envision it. So there's time in between, to wrap it up, between my business taking off in the way that it will versus me waiting for my startup capital to come in so I can LLC my business, trademark my name, and trademark WWI, trademark the business of money. I'm trademarking. I want to protect my assets this time because this is a business. Now, this is not like Nia J. Patrick and Associates. Nia J. Patrick and Associates was confused in a sense that I wasn't always sure I wanted my name on the business, because my name on the business, when it's your name on the business, it's not always taken as seriously as a business name. And I go by a lot of celebrities who they may have, like I just read about Steve Curry and his shoe brand, that it's SC30 Company. You know, that's his name and I believe his number and then company. Well, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, Oprah did Harpo Media. That's her name spelled backwards. And, you know, they had to come up with these names. But Reese Witherspoon has, what, Sunshine Media. And so I think about those things. And it's like, well, I'd rather have a company name versus it being my name. This way, it's completely shielded and protected. And it is its own separate entity outside of having my name on the end of it. Now, my real estate group might be something else. It may be, used to be NP Real Estate Group. I don't know if I want to do that anymore. I think I want to give it a name. Wood Hollow is my home name. So when I thought I would go into events, it was Wood Hollow Events. And I let that domain name go. But my home, if I'm going to do and have a party or anything, everyone knows Nia's home is called Wood Hollow because wealthy people name their estates. I say I live on an estate. Now, that may seem delusional to some people, but you should really live in a delusional state. My place is called Wood Hollow. I live on an estate. It's gated. I live in an apartment community, but it's very, very nice. And the maintenance people, they really do work for me. The leasing agent, they really do work for me. They handle all my leasing paperwork, right? I don't have to worry about anything going awry or awry with my paperwork. They handle the property management of my apartment community. They maintain the grounds. They collect rents, right? There's a clubhouse. There's a pool. There's a conference room that I can hold meetings at. I can hold events at. I can go into them anytime I want to without having to pay if I wanted to hold some kind of event. But if I wanted to sit in there, I certainly can. I don't have to pay for it. So there's a great pool that I can work at. They keep it clean for me. There's a gym here for me that's beautiful. There's a tennis court and there's an outdoor gym and there's plenty of parking. I live on an estate. I don't live in an apartment community. Maintenance people will come in and fix, staff will come in and fix my stuff. Only thing they don't do, they have, no, I'm sorry, all right, let me take that back. There's someone, they have partnerships with someone who can come in and clean my place for me. They offer that. I'd have to pay for it, but someone can come in and clean my place for me. Now, the moment they get a chef or some type of chef company that comes in and cooks for me, I'll be in heaven. In fact, don't let me find a partnership for somebody to come and cook your meals and put freeze it up and put it together for me. I know they're out there. So I say that to say that at some point my business will take off and I will have to look at making sure I'm staying on the right path and looking at other opportunities is okay until I see that that's not my path. And while I was sitting here thinking about, well, do I add mobile notary to my service, right? It's not hard, but it's not hard. It's not real pressure because they have to sign the documents. I'm just showing up. But now I'm mobile. I'm out. I'm doing, you know, going to different appointments because it's a popular service. It'll sell faster than my courses will, of course. And now I'm out focusing on this mobile notary business and not focusing on promoting WWI. Because you never know where business is going to take you. Now, I can use it as a lead gen to WWI, but WWI is a financial media company. So that doesn't really fit with the brand. However, let me go back a bit. But I wrote down, if I'm going to add that type of service, then there's always the fractional CFO service, to increase my services, because I only have advisory on there right now. Taxes, of course, I can always still do bookkeeping, like I can go back to that life. I have mobile notary and I had get my real estate license. I had my real estate license in New York and I thought about continuously getting my real estate license here in Georgia. At some point, I'm going to own some type of land. I don't know what kind yet. Having a license will kind of give me a bit of that edge. But again, those are all three, four, five separate different avenues. And are they a part of my vision? And the answer is no, not for me personally. However, for my having building that network of professionals is in my lane for WWI. Real estate agents might want to access a mobile notary. They go to my network for it. A real estate group might need a fractional CFO. They can go to my network and tap into it. So the team and partners page is building that network. But the team and partners page is usually for financial professionals. Business valuation, fractional CFOs, tax professionals, accounting accountants, analysts, anyone within the frame of financial management, bankers, not investors. I don't believe too much in the investment community right now. I think that and for various reasons, like they usually, the investment community when you need access to capital. You have to make over a certain amount of money automatically. And I'm really focusing on the one-person business who's looking to tap into a network so that it can help them get to where they want to be attractive to the investment community. Everyone wants to start at the top. I like to start right where I am and work with folks who don't have a network at all to tap into. The chamber is usually focused on anybody making over $50,000, $150,000. Well, a lot of small businesses aren't making that and they don't have a network. That is what WWI is all about, is you have a network you can tap into. And this is not a push for WWI, but that's my vision, right? You have access to someone who's a bookkeeper. You have access to someone who can do your taxes and is ethical and not going to cheat you, not going to overcharge you or anything like that. And you want to start a business, you want to have an online class, you can do it on my network. And that way you can teach what you know. And that's another piece of income that you can have coming in. So I say that the mobile notary, yes, having them on my network is much more profitable than me actually doing the business. And that's where I'm going to end it with. It's okay to explore other opportunities in your mind. Put it down on paper, but don't spend any money. That's what looking at cost-benefit analysis comes in. If you have a business mind and mindset, that's how does it complement your business? How much time being a one-person business, is that going to take away from your original idea and your original vision? Because like I said, I could do the mobile, and now I'm doing mobile notary, and that takes up, like Walmart takes up all of my time. But I have to do Walmart because I still have to pay the bills until Women's Wealth Institute pops off. So I can only focus on those two things. Looking at outside opportunities means, one, I'm easily influenced because Women's Wealth Institute is not popping off as fast. And then I used to play this game with ChatGPT, who works with me. I work with, we're a partner, you know, we're partners in this. And I'm like, I thought you said this is how I reduce my services. I know I said I was going to end it, but okay, I'm going to make it quick. ChatGPT, I told them, take a look at my site and give me an idea of where my profit is and help me make sure I'm on the right path. It literally said to me, okay, I see your site. I see your courses. I see your digital products. I see you got a lot of services. And your services make up almost 50%. And you said you didn't want to necessarily work with people that way. You have to reduce your services and reduce the services was $2,500. My courses were quite high as well. Reduce some of the course prices. I see you got them all bundled. That's great. Bundle up your digital products instead of individual products. Bundle them up. That way they get more for the value. And then reduce your services. So that way most of your money comes from your digital products and your courses, not the services. Takes me back to that. Because I don't want to be tied to client work where someone's calling me saying, hey, Ms. Patrick, can you? Hey, Ms. Patrick, I need. Hey, Ms. Patrick, blah, 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 blah. No, there's no need to question, you can call me about my courses. Is it refundable? There's a no refundable policy. Do I get a certificate? It doesn't mention a certificate, but yes, eventually I'll offer certificates. Right now I do not. A certificate is extra. There's no question, can I put it on my resume? Like, don't ask me those questions. Like, don't come to me asking me, can you put it on your resume? You're taking a course. Yes, you can put any kind of course you take on a resume if you're looking for a job. hopefully most of the people I'm dealing, working with that I'm targeting, they're not looking for a job. They're looking, they're building their training schedule for 2026, and they found courses that's going to help them run their business better. And that's what you should also focus on. And I'll probably do a Business and Money podcast on that. Maybe that might be a video. I'm the training and development arm for a solo one-person business that increases the your financial intelligence so that you can make better financial decisions, better business decisions, and not get sidetracked. And you're staying on course. Because I think people get off course and that's how come their business can't grow. I know that's how mine was. I mean, even though I was doing taxes and accounting, I always came back to courses because I'm a teacher. I just leaned into teaching. And everybody talks to me about finance. But people who are talking to me about a business have no business, no real business. And meaning that they didn't build anything and I've built something. I don't think they understand what I've built, and they're not supposed to. But it will come a time when they will recognize what I built is something that they may or may not need, but it wasn't built for them anyway. It was built for people who don't know me, which is why the woman from the UK was like, I love Women's Wealth Institute. Do you sell in the UK? The moment I can sell in the UK, I'm opening up my business to the world, the UK, to anybody who shows that interest. That means I've attracted someone across the pond. That's where the belief comes in. I knew I was global. The whole world is waiting for me. So I say to you, the whole world, hear me closely, tighten your headphones in your ears, tighten your AirPods, your Bluetooth. The whole world is waiting for you. Not the people. You have to not look at anyone around you. Let them talk. The whole world, not just your city, not just your state, but the whole world is your marketplace. And they're waiting for you. They're waiting, waking up, wishing, hoping, and praying that they can buy from you. They don't know this, but they have a longing and desire for knowledge. And knowledge, and this is the gem I'm gonna drop. Today, knowledge is currency. Your knowledge, your specific knowledge is currency today. And I've been trying to tell folks that they don't wanna listen. I say, you need to teach a course. You need to put your expertise out there. Everybody else is talking about it. But yeah, I told everybody about AI. Oh, I'm never gonna use AI. I'm never gonna do this. Okay, not a problem. You need to teach. No, I don't wanna teach. Okay. Now you have people on YouTube teaching basically for free, hoping to get monetized, sharing their verbal knowledge online, their visual assets themselves online, and not monetizing it, waiting for the platform, waiting for someone else to recognize their value. When you own your intellectual property, you already know the value, which is why it sits behind a paywall. It's not services anymore. So people are picky. They want to pick apart your stuff, and they want to break it down, and they want you to explain before they buy. No. Not anymore. Your website is golden. the right website is a money-making machine, not a vending machine, not a real estate property. That takes too long. But once you recognize your work experience, life experience, parenting, being a furry parent, dealing with tragedy, write a book, host a workshop, do a seminar, go online, put it behind the paywall, put it in Patreon. It doesn't have to be your own. Have a one page. I think I'm going to do that and show people how to do that. It's not that hard. The right people will find you. Right? And some people will leave. That's okay. But there's a whole world out there. I still have to set up my website so that it can translate into all different languages. That's on my list. I can't do it now. I need startup. I'm waiting for my startup capital to come in. My settlement from Uber, because I got into that accident, I don't care how much it is. Part of that money is already allocated to starting up my business. I've also decided I'm probably not going to stop Walmart just yet. There's no need to. Not yet. Not until, I think, until, because I've done where I've just quit and drove Uber. Now I'm hustling for the money every day. Yeah, I don't want to go back into that situation. My son was like, Mommy, don't you want to drive Uber again? No. I could, because I did it full time, but Uber was already playing around with my money and I got into an accident. So I'm not trying to die driving Uber, right? Right? No, I'm not. No, it's not worth it anymore. People are crazy. So I love driving, but I recognize that's not that my time with Uber. That God told me my time was up. He gave me two signs. That was my third accident. And my final one, right? So I believe in those kind of signs. WWI, with someone saying, do I sell in UK, is another sign that I'm on the right path. So pay attention to the signs that you're getting. But I'll end on this one more time, because I got to say it again. The whole world is waiting for you. Give them what they want. All right. This is Nia. I am your host here on the Business of Money podcast. Women's Wealth Institute is a company where I teach financial intelligence to solopreneurs just like me and you, so that you can run your business better and you can live the life you deserve. Until then, I'll see you on the next one.